Very well. Thank you everyone for joining today. For those that don't know me, my name is Alejandro Barney. I am the Corbima, and we will be presenting our second quarter. Here you can see our results for the second quarter. In the middle of the page, you will find the historical numbers, in other words, the nominal, not adjusted by inflation, results. And two columns on the right hand of the page are the results adjusted by inflation. So what I'd like to point out is the growth of both business lines. The Central Securities Depository grew 17% in real terms, the exchange 30% in real terms, and therefore our income grew 25% in real terms. Expenses grew a little bit over inflation. They grew 18% in real terms. We will talk about several one-offs that we had this quarter that were part of the real. So our net operating result, as a result of this, grew 30% in real terms. It's important to highlight also the difference in the inflation adjustment impact. Last year, the inflation was high versus the devaluation was very low, the crawling peg, and therefore the net income was negative. Whereas this year, first of all, the inflation was lower than the devaluation. The inflation this quarter, the second quarter, was 6%, and the devaluation was close to 12%. Therefore, our portfolio, which was mostly dollarized, showed a better result related to inflation adjustment. The other thing is that a higher proportion of the portfolio was in pesos, which therefore has a higher return, and that contributed also financial income net positive, taking away the effect. So we had a very good net income line based. Going into the each of the business lines, first of all, the depository, you can see the asset in the custody measured in face value in the graph at the top of the page, 166% growth year on year. And in terms of market value, it had a 59% growth. Despite the good annual growth, the quarter-on-quarter numbers didn't express that much growth, and this is due to the changes in monetary policy that we in April of this year, the public debt rollover was very low. There was an auction on April 14th and another auction on May 4th. Both of them averaged 75%, and therefore we saw a lot of bills maturing, and not all of them were being rebought by the investors, by the local. Therefore, the public debt that we held in custody did experience a drop, 8% in April, and subsequent to that, it started growing again, and by the beginning of the third quarter, it was already up at 20%. So this was something that was just very particular of that moment in time. If you may recall, in April of this year was when the FX policy was changed. The market, the central bank moved from a crawling peg to free, a dirty flotation policy. And therefore, in those days, there was a little bit of nervousness in the market as to how it would play out. And we saw a lot of local banks and local investors staying on the sidelines and not renovating all of the debt that was result of the rollover less. So that has already gone by, and therefore we're seeing after that. On top of that, when we look at the market valuation, the other reason for the drop was also a bad quarter in terms of prices on the equities. That dropped 14% measured by the S&P Merval Index. And so on top of having less bills, we also experienced having a lower value. The good news looking at the revenue is that we had a very good quarter due to corporate actions. corporate actions are typically, there are a lot of them happening in the second quarter. And this year in particular, we had much more dividends being paid, and therefore the Central Securities Authority had a good growth in the first business, the normal services, the ADC, the core services, the depository, the ADC services, experienced a good growth both on an annual basis as well as on a quarterly. So we did not suffer from the drop. Going into the exchange, as usual, the exchange continues to grow faster than the Central Securities Depository. And you can see here that year on year, we experienced a growth of 86%, so a good growth. When you look at quarter and quarter here, the changes in monetary and FX policy also had impact on the trading and the nervousness in the markets. So go into asset classes, starting with equity, year on year, also a nice growth and 25% average daily traded values. And if you look at the graph on the bottom left, you can see that quarter on quarter, what is local equities also had a nice growth, 7%. And if you take into account that there were less trading days, which subtracted 6% of the revenue, and you take into account that S&P Merval dropped 14%, then our ADTV would have been higher for that asset class as well. So although it did show a growth, it did not translate all into a revenue of fewer trading days and prices. If you look at the CDRs here, we experienced a drop. This is something that has not happened since the beginning of the trading of CDRs. We did see less activity, less number of accounts. We attribute it to the fact that there was a lot of nervousness during the second quarter as well. International markets were very, very volatile, and we saw their local investors a little bit on the sideline, not being as active as they. The quarter-on-quarter drop in terms of the active accounts was 16% approximately across all asset classes, but they were very similar between fixed income, equity. And actually, we've seen more recently, as the situation has turned around, we have seen the activity increase again in the number of accounts, and that is why we attribute it to something very particular to the market. Fixed income did see a very significant growth both annually as well as quarter on quarter, the average daily traded value. And here it's interesting to see the changes, the FX policy. We did see fewer retail active in the market, but the flip side is that we saw more arbitrage, and that is why volume, as you can see the graph from both graphs on the right hand of the page. The top graph is what we call the guaranteed segment, and the bottom is the bilateral or non-where BIMA the settlement. But as I was saying, both types of trading saw very significant year on year as well as quarter. We attribute that to the changes in. Now, when you go to the revenues in this asset class, we did not see a quarter on quarter growth. Annual growth was still very significant. The quarter on quarter, we saw a decrease due to two things. First of all, there were a couple of large banks that were not paying the Cenevi fee. The Cenevi is the bilateral segment. We have a pricing arrangement where fixed fee paid by a client reduces the variable fee that you pay. That is one option. Others preferred not to pay the fixed, and therefore they were paying a higher. So the switch from higher variable to a fixed plus lower variable reduced the fees specifically measured the previous quarter, and in spite of higher traded. The second reason was an adjustment in fees that are paid when an investor does both a T0 and a T+1 transaction. You buy in T0, sell in. When you do that type of financing, that's basically buying for a day and the next, that type of arbitrage or finance, we also read the fees. And that all impact. The cauciones or on exchange repo also continued to show very nice growth rates. And here point out that starting the third quarter, we are changing how limit the volumes taken by the broker. This segment have seen that there's a lot more demand. We had been limiting amount cash that takers getting would limit more side cash is taken from brokers. And the change in the model should help us grow this segment. There was a limit as to how much could be transacted by space net worth. We are moving limited only based on the polio of NTs they leave with us, removing their network. In terms of market data, this has evolved in line with the effects. So we haven't the clients here. The evolution is simply because all of the fees are cushion. Moving now into expenses. You can see, first of all, that technology expenditures grew very significantly. As we pointed out, the fact that there were several one-off pays quarter, we implemented both a Millennium and an upgrade. Millennium for trading, and NASDAQ is our custody platform. Both of based the growth experience, upgraded large fees paid the quarter. And in addition, we also paid some annual license and this quarter experience that actually should have been spread out on an annual basis next quarter. And in terms of compensation also, this quarter we paid a variable compensation, and so a hike as well. And that is, if you may recall from previous presentations, the compensation line, which is the largest, typically inflation this also the year, and they're solely. The other large expense line, taxes, that continues to grow with our invoicing, their flat fee, a flat percentage that goes line. Carlos, if I may, I'll leave the questions for the end. Thank you. Financial earnings, they have also shown a very nice recovery on a quarterly basis and a nice growth on an annual basis. A larger portion of our portfolio is in pesos, and that contributes, therefore, in pesos. The FX difference contributor in financials this year. In the second quarter, there was a little bit of an acceleration. FX policy change from crawling peg to a dirty flotation, and therefore we had a result for a better reason. And this, in spite of the fact that we had paid out a large in April of $185 million in cash, but still income. As a result of the revenue growing and the expenses growing at a lower rate, we maintained, continued to be at highs of EBITDA and operating. So EBITDA includes the financial income that comes to clients from the business side, whereas operating margin excludes all financial income. Better test or efficient does not come to vary client, which we can all time have. We will leave with you our results as always. And in this page, we corrected the EBITDA, which had a typo we sent you last night. We already uploaded this version to our website, so apologize that typo. But the important thing in this page, so as to not repeat financial results and the efficiency, which I already mentioned, we wanted to highlight changes which were not had not caused impact in this quarter, but will cause impact. First of all, we changed the market opening to align with trading hours. So that gives us another half an hour of trading, as you call. There is a lot of arbitrage in equity, in CDRs, and even in fixed income with the U.S., and they're significant to our revenue. Giving other half an hour of trading should help. We changed the risk model and the assignment amounts that can be traded for each repo, removing the network limit that we had, so that should continue to expand to growth. The change in monetary policy also has been very significant at the local. The central bank now does not receive cash or provide cash intraday or overnight. Basically, local banks were very used to just letting their excess cash there and taking interest well. Because the central bank move away from that role, stopped the lefis in July, what that meant is that now banks must look towards other banks, capital markets, to fund them. And therefore, introduce the trading sessions, what we call simultaneous trades, which are actually repo as well, but call it simultaneous trades to differentiate from exchange repo, and two others, which are the overnight repo, the intraday repo, where the banks are funded either overnight or sessions have added, again, to help the chain, the banks. And the other important change, which we introduced in July, which we also sent emailing, is a significant change in how the equity business, as you may recall, on the trading side, we beam 8 basis points on each leg action, and there is no fee for clearing and settlement. And fee on the custody side was, so we reduced 1 basis point starting in July. In September, we will reduce 2 more basis points on what we charge. So we went from 8 to 7 and then from 7 to 5. And we are increasing in September the custody fee. We will be charging 3.5 basis points. And therefore, starting September, these fees, all in all, should be revenue neutral, should not impact BIMA's total line, but we are changing the distribution of income, moving it a little from exchange over to deposit. And that will put us more in line with international competition. The 5 basis points charged exchange will be 2 basis points for trading and 3 basis for clearing and settlement. Again, much in line with what another, and the custody fee, which was subsidized by the trading, that also reverts 3.5 basis. So these changes, you will see the third quarter, all of these actually in the results. Finally, some key projects, sorry, we left the Spanish version titles on the page as well. Several of the key projects we have, we are implementing the launch. This began during this year. We continue to roll out APIs for data and custody information so that our local and banks interact much better. Our systems, we continue to improve the scalable system. The upgrade of the Millennium system, which we just finished the second quarter, that again will allow us process a greater number of trades, reduce the latency. We launched the second a low latency, so that couple upgrade of the, now we are ready to begin receiving HFTs, the high free traders attempting to expand the segment, which that's just revenue. The bilateral fixed income platform, what we call Cinebi, we launched a new web version and API access was broken directly to the engine, the trading engine. So that also should help us improve scale of the system. We will be launching futures of the on-exchange repo rate and market makers. Again, we are seeing is the change in policy, a need for more rate products. We think that, and we continue, we said before, with the CCP, the new CCP that is a system provided by NASDAQ, that should give a lot of. So that is it in terms of presentation, and I'll open it up for questions then. Carlos, please go ahead with.
Hi, thank you for taking my question first. And apologies for raising the hand before. So I guess the main question I think for all of us would be what progress we have made in being able to access your stock more easily to be able to buy and to sell. We know that there has been very significant easing of exchange controls, but it's a process. So we wanted to know how far it is and what is the best venue right now to be able to buy into your local market. Thank you.
You're welcome, Carlos. Indeed, after the changes in FX policy, which began on April 14th and went through, some restrictions were lifted in May, those type of restrictions now are much easier. In terms of foreign investors specifically, foreign investors can come in through the official exchange market, current regulations allow them to leave also through the official exchange. And that is for new money coming in. So leaving through the official exchange market can only happen if you came in exchange. The local banks have set up procedures for investors to validate and show the money coming in as well as the results of the investment, and therefore they approve the money leaving Argentina through the official. That is in place. As we understand, there's not a lot of investment coming in through that vehicle just yet. From what we hear, a lot has to do with the soon to have elections, September and October. There are a lot of investors on the sidelines waiting to see how the results play out in these, September being the province of Buenos Aires and October being the National Congress. And having said all that, we continue to see some money coming in through the on-exchange FX. So the restrictions were also eliminated for the activity on exchange. And that is why we see more arbitrage now. You saw in the fixed income volume that the ADTV grew. That has to the fact that more arbitrage, as well as the monetary, that also volume. But having said that, so we continue to see foreign investor activity come in exchange as we saw in both avenues continue. But again, there's not a lot of it.
And if I can follow up, is there any currently, is there any requirement for a minimal stay of the money for either equity or fixed income investment?
There's no minimum stay, no. The going back to the official FX, the restriction is that you need to prove the investment result, and that you can take out once that has been. Now, the proof is done at the bank level. So you may find some banks that want more documentation in terms of showing the results of the effects of the investment.
Okay. And in practical, sorry, if you can follow up, in practical terms, what has it meant for an investor if I go in today, how long does it take for me to get in, and how long does it take practically for me to get out?
It will depend if the client, if the bank already has you as a client. Mm-hmm. Okay, so assuming you already have your accounts opened, which can take some time. Assuming you have your accounts opened, you can do the FX soon as you want, and you will receive the proceeds either same day or next day. The more common market is next. So we'll receive the peso proceeds next day. The pesos you will receive in a local account. Therefore, that is why you need the local account established. And that is, that goes with my previous comment, as to already being a client of the bank and having your bank open. So you do the FX. T1, and therefore you have the pesos, and then you buy T0 or T1, the investment. The regulation allows you any investment that trades on exchange in Argentina, any investment is valid, equity or fixed income, basically. And there is no limit as to when you want to leave. So you can have it invested a day and next day leave with, and that includes any dividend or income paid on that event.
Thank you so much.
Pedro Offenhaven.
Hi, Alejandro. Thank you for the call. I only had a couple of questions on the restrictions, regulatory restrictions. You mentioned regulatory changes that impacted trading activity. What were like the main ones, and have you seen a recovery in that trading activity?
Yes. So we have seen a drop in active accounts, like I mentioned, mostly concentrated in the AL30, which, as you know, is the instrument that was mostly used for dollar MEP, for exchanging pesos into dollars. We saw a drop in the number of accounts, but we saw more arbitrage, because now one of the restrictions you probably recall that was eliminated was that if a company was doing dollar MEP, they could not go into the official FX market, right? So that was eliminated. So now we see more ADTV in fixed income, and we, from what I've seen, it is related to more arbitrage because restrictions like that had been eliminated. I don't know if that answers.
Yes, clear. And there are still any regulation restrictions, well, you mentioned earlier, that
exactly.
You think are holding back activity
Yes, there still are. Although physical persons can access the FX market freely, still there are restrictions. As you know, for foreigners cannot take out dividends paid in the past. So those type of restrictions still, we believe, make it harder for foreigners to send more money into Argentina, and that is why, again, we believe a lot of this is waiting on the sideline.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pedro Leduc.
Hi, Alejandro. Thank you very much for the call, taking the question. Pleasure to be here. Two quick ones.
Thank you.
First, on the new pricing mechanism that you've announced, if you can share with us, how it's been rolled out, what have been the learnings so far, how you're doing it. And then the second part is on other than fixed income and equity products like derivatives, FX. I know there's another player there, but wondering how you guys can eventually also participate in that angle of the local capital markets, either indirectly, directly, just a broad sense here. Thank you.
Sure. So in terms of the new pricing structure for equity, what we did starting July 15th was reduce one basis. So we did it that way in order to ease out the impact, because as you probably know, there are some clients that trade more than what they hold. There are other clients that they hold more than what they trade. So depending on the segment, the new pricing structure will impact different people differently, although at a total market level, we are attempting to be as neutral as possible. So because of the impacts on some certain types of segments, we decided it was better to roll it out this way, whereas first we reduced one basis point. Starting September, we will reduce another two basis points, and we will increase the custody. So far, basically, it's been all happy news because of the reduction. We will see. This will be a matter for the third quarter results in November. At that point, we will have some more real responses from clients as to how it. But this, for us, this was very important because there was an image of Argentina being expensive because of the way we charge. And with foreign investors most likely increasing their activity here, we wanted to go to a more international structure. And so we thought it was important this year too. In terms of your other question, Pedro, in terms of, for example, we are launching futures on interest rates on the on-exchange repo. The on-exchange repo has grown over the years very much. All players in the both banks and brokers and corporates, all players use it very significantly. It has become a rate which in newspapers they publish it. It has become a rate that is really followed by everyone just to talk about the monetary con and therefore futures on the on-exchange repo, we think is going to be very important again because of the very significant change that the central bank has been doing in moving away from being the provider of liquidity and the receptor of liquidity every day to letting the market establish the liquidity positions with the central bank just publishing what the reference rate should be. So again, going to a more modern structure in terms of monetary. So with these changes, we think that the futures on this rate is going to be important. And that is one of the steps we have taken, we are taking. We haven't launched it yet, but we are very close to that. So that is one of the steps we are taking in order to start increasing our futures activity.
Great. And just a quick follow-up on the pricing mechanism. You mentioned in the prepared remarks, more presence of HFTs now coming in. And I'm assuming this whole new pricing mechanism is very much aligned with what they look for.
Exactly right. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Well, although the local broker community for their prop accounts. They do a lot of arbitrage, and they've been increasing their just their structure and their capability, and they are having much more sophisticated algorithmic traders. We still don't have true HFTs. We have seen that, for example, in Brazil, there's a large presence. So it is an avenue that we would like to expand in a segment. We would like to expand if we don't have to. And that is our getting ready with the low latency network that I mentioned, with an upgrade of our Millennium infrastructure, and with the fee structure.
That's great. That ties it up. Thank you.
Jose Pablo?
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call and great for the results. I wanted to ask whether how you're thinking the company, since we all notice here that the elections are a really important part of the BIMA's future. Maybe we can see a soar in the ADDV, more penetration of HFTs, and all of the things that comes when a right wing candidate is performing well. So I wanted to ask, what is the base case of BIMA at the moment to do budgets, to do projects, launching pipeline, and every other source of revenue growth? What is your base case given that big event? And if in case of a left-wing candidate winning, what will you do differently, or your strategy is independent of the elections?
Yes, thank you, Jose Pablo. In terms of, I think there's three angles, three responses to that question. First of all, in terms of our base case right now, it is what polls are saying. It appears, and all polls are very close, but the current presidential candidates, or those actually that are part of his party, La Libertad Avanza, it seems that in September, it's going to be basically half and half, and then because that is solely province of Buenos Aires, where the greater Buenos Aires has a larger probability, a larger percentage of Peronist candidates coming out to the winning the race. Whereas in the October elections, it seems to be different polls talk between an 8% and a 10 percentage point difference of La Libertad Avanza. So the projections are that his government will be stronger starting December of this year, with a greater presence of deputies and senators in Congress, which are part of La Libertad Avanza. And that means that there is a greater likelihood of structural changes, which are important for Argentina, to happen next year. And I'm referring to labor law change, tax changes, and finally pension changes. Those three are his priority for next year. And again, he needs greater representation in Congress. And the base case is that he will. If that does not happen, and again, I think that, as I made reference before, there are a lot of large investors waiting on the sidelines to make sure that gets confirmed before committing more capital. If that does not happen, clearly there will be, in some parts, in some sectors of the economy, there may be projects that won't start. So there's a lot of talk about large-scale projects in mining, for example. Maybe some of those do happen, not all. Copper, still at the end of the day, which are some of the largest entities, copper is a commodity that for sure will be very much needed. But if there are concerns about dividends not being able to be paid to the head office, then again, less likely that we will see large scale FDI coming. I think that the difference with oil and gas is that it is being mostly developed by local companies. So growth in that sector I don't think will be much impacted by whoever wins in this this congressional election. And so all of the investments that have been committed by private companies in that sector, I think, will continue. So there's a very large natural gas, for example, a project to export LNG to the world, mostly Europe, but to the world from the southern part of Argentina. That's a $15 billion project that will most likely continue because it is local companies and export of natural resources. So again, I don't see projects like that shut down. So I think that, yes, some projects, some investments won't happen. And obviously that means less companies coming onto the market. But the privatizations that have been slotted down for the end of this year or next year, I think those will continue to happen anyway. So we may not see as much growth as we are projecting right now.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Alejandro.
You're welcome. Pedro?
Hi, Alejandro. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. So it's a quick one. So what's the best estimate that you have for excess cash that the company holds right now? That is all the cash that is above what you have for skin in the game in the clearing. And what bottlenecks do you have to distribute that to shareholders?
We don't have bottlenecks anymore. There was a restriction which was lifted in December of last year. The Central Securities Depository could not pay more than 10% of its annual earnings. And that, again, was lifted in December 30th of last year. So there are no restrictions now. Based on that change, we are building our minimum capital model. And with that, we will be, our board requested that we have a dividend policy in place. Today, our dividend policy was a bit vague because of that restriction we have. So we are looking to having a more detailed dividend policy as to how we will distribute.
Okay, so is it a possibility to have a extraordinary dividend on top of regular dividends according to this new policy?
So we paid a large dividend already in April of this year of $145 million. That was part of the cash that we had analyzed that was excess at the Central Depository. The CSD is the Central, it paid $100 million and BIMA paid $145 million. And it committed to paying another $50 billion pesos, which now is closer to $40 million, actually. That will be paid out sometime before the end of this year. We don't have a date set yet. That going forward, we will have the minimum capital model, and therefore we will have a better definition, more details as to what can be considered excess and therefore what can be distributed back to shareholders, either as a dividend or as share buyback.
That's pretty clear. Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions? Very well. Thank you very much for joining us today. As usual, we will be putting on our website the today's presentation and the recording of today's presentation. And you will find on our website also our email in case you have any other questions that come up. Our email, for those that don't remember, is ri@bima.com. Once again, thank you very much for joining today. Have a good day.